It's time for The Medley, and I'm your host, Blake Crash Priddle. Today's guest is an extremely talented person with a huge resume going all the way back to her childhood. Sonia Ball hails from Montreal, and she is perhaps best known for doing the voice of Whimsy on Whimsy's House and as Mrs. Jane Reed on Arthur. She is also a talented singer with an award-winning song. You'll get to hear the story of how she became an actress, as well as some of the highlights of her awesome career. Sonia, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice to be here, Blake.
You've had an impressive career as an actress and as a singer, but how did it all start?
Well, I've been singing, you know, since I'm about 6 years old. I owe my career to The Wizard of Oz. I watched that show as a kid, and I was enthralled with the whole idea of being an actress and a singer. And I guess I knew what I wanted from a very young age. So really, that's how it all began. But professionally, I was singing with a band one night, and the bass player said, I was clowning around doing voices and accents, and he said, oh, you should go down to see our film. My girlfriend does voiceovers, and you sound really good. Maybe you could get a job there. So I went down to see our film, and I auditioned for something, and I guess I never looked back. That was, close to 35 years ago.
They made a lot of cartoons, I know that, including Arthur, but they were also involved with making a classic puppet show, Canadian puppet show called Whimsy's House, which you were a part of. You did the voice of Whimsy, and you sang the Whimsy's House theme song. The question I have is, how did you come up with Whimsy's voice?
Oh, you know, it just like all other voiceover actors, you know, you have a sense of what might suit the character. So I just kind of pitched my voice up a lot and gave her a cute little giggle, and there you go. It didn't really take that much, you know, when you're doing cartoons like, you know, back in the day, myself and a handful of other actors, we were doing shows from 9 o'clock in the morning till often 10 o'clock at night. We'd jump from studio to studio. We'd be working in three different studios a day. So you get used to kind of sensing what's required. And then you just use your own acting ability and your own sense of humor, and you put that in there, and you try to come up with something. They give you an idea as to the age of the character, and they give you a character sort of profile, you know, and then you just kind of let your intuition go to work. You can only do so much with your vocal cords, I suppose. So when I pitch my voice up, now my little boy characters, sometimes they have a little bit of an edge like this, whereas the girls are kind of sweet and a little bit higher, that kind of thing. But we do the best we can, you know.
The first time I heard you doing the voice of Whimsy, not on the Whimsy's House show, was on a YouTube video where you were holding a Whimsy doll and doing the voice for a fan, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's my good buddy Preston. Yeah, that was for Preston. He's a fan. I don't know how he got my phone number, but he's been calling me on and off for years, and he's an autistic gentleman, but he's extremely intelligent. He's wonderful to talk to. So I decided to, you know, he asked me, could he have the Whimsy doll? I told him I had one. So we did that for him. He's a sweetheart.
What a coincidence. I'm autistic too.
Are you?
Yeah. I was diagnosed in kindergarten.
Oh, were you? Well, there you go. You know, it's just labels, right? We're all different. We all have something to offer. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And so, it's cool.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Whimsy's House was originally done in French and then it was dubbed over. Is that correct?
Whimsy's House? Yes. It was a puppet show done in French first. So, you know, the writers, of course, we have to match the flaps of the character, right? So the writers really deserve a lot of credit for creating dialogue that's in English and still tells what the story is, but works with the character's mouth movements. So, you know, they really do deserve a big pat on the back, the writers do.
Another character that you voiced was Arthur's mom, Mrs. Jane Reed, and Arthur. How did it feel to be a part of that show for over 20 years?
Well, I felt very blessed and lucky that, you know, I landed that role. And often, you know, playing the very straight mom is can be for me more challenging than playing off the wall type characters that are silly or maniacal or evil or, you know, just playing the real straight mom. That's a challenge for me personally. Now, for other actors, they might find those straighter roles perhaps easier to do, maybe more in their wheelhouse. But anyway, regardless, I feel blessed to have been on the show for that long and a very successful show at that, right?
Do you have a favorite episode of Arthur?
You know, not really that I can remember. I know there were some interesting episodes because the character Arthur and his sister DW go through a lot of things, as young people do. And there's interesting messages in all the shows, you know, as the kids proceed to learn a little bit of a lesson toward the end of every show. And I think I don't really have a favorite in actual fact. I think they were all good.
I think one of my favorite Mrs. Reed moments was when DW asked what a stone was. She was giving a subtle hint that she wanted earrings. And then your character said, "What kind of stone, DW?" She says, "A stone like in beautiful earrings that every girl should have." And Mrs. Reed knew right away and she just said, "No."
Oh, well, you remember it better than I do. That's great.
Yeah, and DW said, "Wait, I didn't ask anything. How could you say no if I didn't ask anything?"
Right. You know, that's what I think was the reason for the success of that show is a lot of the stories were very relatable to kids watching, you know? They could relate to the things the characters went through.
Another popular show that you are on was called Samurai Pizza Cats. I know about that show, but I never watched it. What was that show about?
Samurai Pizza Cats, you know, well, basically, that show was... it was about, you know, these cats that work in a pizza joint, but they also fight crime, right? And so I play Polyester Pussycat, which is one of the lead roles. And then Speedy Cerverce was Rick Jones, and Guido Anchovy and the narrator was played by Terrence Scammell. There was a series of great writers on that show that spoofed a lot of things. And it had the kind of humor that, you know, one, if you were alive back in the 60s, it would be reminiscent of like Rocky and Bullwinkle or something, you know. It had that rapid fire pop culture reference. It spoofed a lot. You know, the narrator read like this, you know, and our heroes. You know, it was very spoofy and fun. And even the kids today hear stuff like that. And they don't know why they like it, but they do. But it's kind of a style that's, you know, no longer produced. But it had great writers, and that helped a lot once again, you know.
Of all the characters that you voiced, which one would you say was your favorite?
My favorite? Well, I really enjoyed doing Pinocchio. I really did. That was with Whoopi Goldberg and Malcolm McDowell. And that was a lot of fun doing, although I must tell you that the city bus would go by and there'd be an advertisement for Pinocchio 3000 on the side of the bus. And it would mention Whoopi Goldberg and Malcolm McDowell, but I had the lead role and they never mentioned my name. You know, that's part of show business though. If you're not a real celebrity, you know, they'll just cash in on the celebrities' names. But I enjoyed doing that role a lot. You know, the innocent boy who learns something along the way. And he's got that real kind of eager sort of way about him. And I enjoy playing him very much. So, yeah, I would say he's one of my favorites.
Well, that's one thing that we try to do here at the Medley is give publicity to people that may not be as well known as, say, Whoopi Goldberg or Malcolm McDowell. But I think that you're a very talented person and your name definitely should have been on that poster. Shame on them.
Oh, well, thank you, Blake. It's lovely that you choose to, you know, to feature artists like myself who are kind of behind the scenes and might not get the same notoriety as those that have a celebrity name attached to them, but thank you.
That's one of the ways that they get noticed, one of the ways that they get publicity. I listened to one of your songs just before we started recording, and I understand that you also sang and recorded a song that won some awards. Could you shed some light on that?
Over the years, especially over at CINAHR, we worked with musical director Jeff Zahn from New York, and he was just, I still work with Jeff. He's fabulous, and we did a lot of shows together over at CINAHR. We did Arthur, Bunch of Munch, Busy World of Richard Scarry, the Whimsy House theme song, Spookly the Square Pumpkin had a series of songs. It's now, that show is now on Disney Channel. And then we did a song called Never Give Up on Wishes, which was in the Madeline's Christmas annual TV movie. He wrote that. That one, some awards, the exact ones I don't know, you'd have to talk to Jeff about that, but he did tell me that it was nominated for, I have it written here, yeah, Never Give Up on Wishes was nominated for the prestigious ACE Award for best song on cable TV. Now it the award actually ended up going out to a Disney song, but just to have been nominated was a very wonderful thing. So yeah, that's Never Give Up on Wishes. It's a beautiful song that Jeff Zahn wrote. And he was musical director over there at CINAHR for years. He's wonderful.
In a lot of ways, getting nominated in my mind is still in a way a quote unquote win, because it's still a big honor. Not many people, you know, get nominated for those things, let alone win. So it's still definitely something to be proud of big time.
Oh yeah, you know, sure. In a competitive industry like that, it's quite wonderful to get nominated, for sure. We're doing a show right now called The Essence of Cohen, which is a tribute to Leonard Cohen, and it's a concert tour, and that will keep us quite busy until the end of October. And once the end of October happens, then my partner Roger Sarazen and myself, he plays guitar and writes, we're going to complete the material and then put the musicians together and get going on an original music project, you know. Yeah, we're really looking forward, and it will be available on all those sites, I guess, at some point down the road.
You mentioned at the beginning that The Wizard of Oz was a big influence on your career. Would you say that Judy Garland's singing style helped to inspire your own?
I would say there's a touch of that in there for sure. But, you know, like on this, you know, I also listened to Mahalia Jackson, the gospel singer, and her soulful, big, big sound. And that affected me. I love Jennifer Warren and her. So I don't know. I've been compared to everybody from Streisand to Donna Summers. So, you know, you try to develop your own style as the years go by, but you can't help but be influenced, you know, by many of the singers that you've heard over the years. But when I was young, yes, I would say Judy Garland was a big influence. Of course, don't forget, we're going back. You know, I was born in 56, right? So, yeah, we're going back a few years, and she was pretty big stuff back then.
I've heard from other artists, and they always say that there's no shame in trying to be influenced by somebody else, but a good rule of thumb is to try to find your own style rather than to copy someone else exactly.
Well, that's good, you know, that we have these influences. We have our peers and stuff. But as you say, you know, as the years go by, you start to develop your own style. Now, I was a pop singer for years and did backup singing for, you know, a lot of the major artists in Quebec. And somehow, somewhere down the road, after years on stage, you say to yourself, you know what? I want to do something that is me. And who am I? And that doesn't come overnight for some of us, you know. It's something that develops over time. So I think it's, that's a familiar story with a lot of artists, including painters and such, as you say.
What does the future hold for you?
The future? Oh, God, whatever the creator has in store. You know what? Blake, honest to God, after years and years, of working, you know, professionally. I did my first paying job when I was about 7. And, you know, I was doing television and radio at 11 years old and moved to Toronto and had my first manager at age 11. And now I'm to the point where I just want to wake up and be happy and full of joy every single day, no matter what. And, you know, doing a CD at this age, like, you know, I'm not expecting anything. I'm just going to do what's in my heart. And I think that's what the future holds for me, is just more and more joy, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think that's a wonderful way to go. And Sonia, I really enjoyed having you as a guest this week. And thank you very much for your time. And from all of us here at The Medley, we wish you all the best on your future endeavors.
Well, thank you very much, Blake. It's been a pleasure, and all the very best. Lots of peace and love to you, my friend.
And that was the ever-talented actress and singer Sonia Ball. If you wish to listen to some of Sonia's music, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, which you can find the link to in the description. This is Blake Crash Priddle, and until next time, remember, here at The Medley, we're all kinds of different.